What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I'm just going to play it again. I'm going to play Steph. I don't play Steve. Here's Steph Curry. Steph Curry after Monday night's loss to the Toronto Raptors on what he wants to see happen before the trade deadline.
Mike understands, like, we want to win. We want to be in that position where we've always said that you want to be relevant in the championship type of chase. While, you know, we understand we're getting older and deeper into our careers and allowing some of the young guys to kind of blossom. But it doesn't mean you're getting desperate. It's better to kind of be patient, understand what that looks like. And I know, you know, Mike is always on the phone trying to figure it out. That's what a big GM does. Doesn't mean there's a deal on the table. Doesn't mean that you're desperate. Doesn't mean that you're just flinging, like I said, assets all the way around and being reckless with it.
All right, here's Steph Curry more on the responsibility to keep this franchise in a good place.
Desperate trades or desperate, you know, moves that deplete the future, like, there is a responsibility allowing the, or keeping the franchise in a good space and good spot when it comes to where we leave this thing when we're done. Doesn't mean that you're not trying to get better. Doesn't mean that you're not active in any type of search to, you know, if you have an opportunity where a trade makes sense or even in the summer free agency makes sense, like, you want to continue to get better. Nobody wants to be stale or be in a situation where you're passing up opportunities, but it doesn't mean that you're desperate, you know, just flinging assets all around the place just because you want to do something.
And then here's Steve Kerr yesterday, Shasky, because I want you to react to all this. This is Steve Kerr yesterday with Willard or Dibs right here on 95.7 The Game.
This does not feel like a time, in my estimation, I think in Mike's and Steph's and Draymond's, where you just you push all the chips in the middle and take a wild swing. That would be so irresponsible. So we're aware of that, but what does that mean? It means we are where we are. We're in the middle of the pack with a bunch of teams that are either good enough or not good enough, and we have to find out if we are. And by good enough, that means, you know, can you climb your way into the playoffs and give yourself a chance? And that's what we're trying to do.
Well, I guess there's a couple questions off of that. Can they give themselves a chance to make the playoffs if Kuminga comes back healthy? But two, what does that messaging say to you, Dub Nation? 888-957-9570. Roasters as well. I asked Shasky last segment what that message means to him. He wants him to pick a direction. But when you hear that over from Steph and Steve, what else kind of boggles your mind off of those sentiments there from Steph and Steve?
I'm just confused. I'm confused of, like, why this pivot? There was a show back in the day called Change of Heart.
Yeah, I love Change of Heart. Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, there was this show that used to be out there for Change of Heart. Yeah. And they would have different couples on. Right. And do you want to stay with your couple or do you want a change of heart and go in
awesome.
A different direction?
I love that show.
You did, right?
Oh, I want to be I told you I want to be a dating show host.
Did you?
It's my call.
Little
I
love
still
connection?
Do. What, Blind Date, Chuck Woolery, whatever it is. Yeah. Roger Lodge.
Yeah, Roger Lodge, exactly. And so, you know, Change of Heart, what the hell happened? So just think about where we were just a couple years ago, okay? This is not that long ago. They had to trade James Wiseman for GP2 because they had to get incrementally better. Right? Am I wrong? Mm-hmm. I'm just asking. Mm-hmm. Like, they had to. All right? And I'm not even here saying that James Wiseman is great. I just think it's a microcosm of the thought process.
Right.
We are getting rid of a young player to get us a very specific role player who is here to help us win because we're chasing wins.
Right.
Think about how they treated Klay Thompson. And look, I was at the forefront of saying his role should be adjusted.
Right.
So I want to raise my hand because I was in alignment with the thought process of Klay's got to adjust his style of play because we are chasing wins. Again, this goes back to chasing wins. We are trying to grab at the big trophy. We are going to not retain Klay Thompson because we are not here chasing emotions. We're chasing wins.
Right.
We're not giving him a swan song contract. which I agreed with, mm-hmm. because we were chasing wins. Why is Jordan Poole not here? Because we didn't think he was good enough to help us chase wins, and he didn't help us close out games down the stretch, and we were mad because the young player didn't have the IQ to help us chase wins when we got to the playoffs against the Lakers and the Kings. He was almost unplayable. Mm-hmm. So we went and got Chris Paul. And now, after all of these moves, and you acquire Buddy Hield, and you acquire Kyle Anderson, older players, veteran-type players.
D'Anthony Melton, don't forget about that.
D'Anthony Melton, to chase wins. Now, January 15th, just like 18 months later, of all these moves that I'm describing, you don't close with Kuminga for years.
Yeah.
Years!
Yep.
The second Wiggins comes back when he's been on a milk carton for months, Kuminga, I know you carried us for a couple months. Go back to the bench.
Yep.
Now, all of a sudden, you have a change of heart? What the? What? Like,
how do you think?
Am I the only one that's just kind of like?
No, I believe we're all stunned. No, we're all stunned. Like, I'm all stunned. I'm stunned at the timing of the comments.
I'm fine with you having a change of heart, but explain why.
But yeah, I'm the timing of the comments is very interesting. I think they're being very logical and realistic about the current situation. They're not a championship team. I get that. I understand that. They're 11th place right now. They're 19-20. You are what your record says you are. After a 12-3 start, you're 7-17 in the last 24 games. It's not good enough. And when you look at the numbers here, I'm gonna say some numbers for you, Shasky. And it's been an all-time disaster over the last 24 games. In the last 24 games, the Warriors, Shasky, 7-17. That's tied for 23rd in the NBA. They're averaging 106 points per game. That is 27th in the NBA. Their field goal percentage in the last 24 games, 43%. That's 29th in the NBA. Three-point percentage, 35%. That's 22nd in the NBA. 105.1 offensive rating. That is 27th in the NBA. And their net rating is -5.9, which is 24th. And remember, they started the season at 12-3. They're 7-17. Those are their numbers in the last 24 games. So realistically, I understand where Steve, Steph, and Draymond are coming from. But it's just a weird pivot how it's happened on 3 days in a row on this road trip. And we haven't even come back home yet, where you have a game against the Wizards and Jordan Poole Saturday, the Boston Celtics on Monday, MLK Day. And you're thinking to yourself, why now ahead of the deadline? Are they prepping Dub Nation for a quiet deadline? Which will, look, it's going to infuriate a lot of fans. The online fan base is one thing. But everybody walking the street saying, are we just giving up? Because if you do that, and the fans know that, hey, we know we don't have a shot at the championship, we're kind of just cool with staying status quo, well, then we're going to get into conversations about ticket prices and food prices and the cost of going to a game, and people are not going to be happy, and even if you get some Miami Heat, I started to see some empty seats at the end of the third quarter. And you best believe that Joe Lacob, after watching that against Miami, those empty seats in the second half, after hearing Sacramento fans chant "light the beam" at Chase Center, he probably wanted to get some Jim Beam after that. Seriously, like light the beam? What? Let me get some beam. The yak, the brown stuff, you know, because I need it right now because Sacramento's rolling. This is a critical juncture, and I just wonder if Joe Lacob is on board with Steve, Steph, and, of course, Draymond Green on this messaging. So, where's Mike at with this messaging? It's just the timing of it, Shasky, just confuses me.
Back to the change of heart thing. If they make no move at the deadline, I'll give you the biggest transaction that they can make. It's that your actions actually speak louder than your words. Play the change of heart song while I say this, because I want people to
know. What's wrong with Steve?
Wow.
You just made that?
There was a contestant named Steve, and it worked perfectly, so I kept it.
Wow, that's next level. Fonte. The game was on change of heart.
What's wrong with Steve?
So good.
This is a great show.
All right. How many minutes per game does Victor Wembanyama play? And we're talking about a phenom.
If I had to guess, about 35, 40.
He's at 34 minutes a game.
34, okay.
What about Brandon Miller, who's not a phenom? But
Charlotte Hornet, rookie? He's got to play at least 30 to 34 minutes.
33 and a half minutes a game. Jonathan Kuminga plays 26 minutes a game. Currently, Draymond Green plays 28 and a half minutes a game. If you truly want to put your actions ahead of your words and do what you say you're going to do, Jonathan Kuminga cannot play less minutes than Draymond Green moving forward. You need to be committed to Jonathan Quick. If you are going to sit here and tell us, you just can't do anything about it, okay, fine, I'll accept it. Again, you guys have earned a lot of equity. You won four championships. I didn't think I'd get one. But if you truly want to be a man about actions and be about your word, there's not a chance in hell the rest of the season, if I look up at game logs and Jonathan Kuminga is not closing every single game and his minute log isn't well over 30 minutes when the season comes to end, you're full of it.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal when it comes to Kuminga. I don't even care if he plays more than Draymond, Wiggins. The fact is he needs to play 30 minutes a game because the numbers when he plays 30 minutes a game, he's a more efficient player than Franz Wagner down in Orlando, who's balling. It just signed a $224 million extension, if I may say. Jonathan Kuminga has proven when he plays at least 30 minutes a game, he's a productive NBA player.
Yeah.
He just is. Now, can he help you win? We just haven't seen you yet. He's 22 years old. He hasn't really been given that opportunity. But here's the deal with JK.
He hasn't been given the opportunity. But now, now's your opportunity.
Yeah, no, well, I think they were trending that way before he injured his ankle.
Yeah, okay.
But here's the problem with JK. This is crazy. So he had the back-to-back game where he scored 34 points. Remember that he scored 34 against the Clippers, and I think he scored 34 against Houston. Career highs or what? 33, whatever. But Steve Curry and every Draymond went up. Draymond came off the bench in his first game back a couple weeks ago. I forget the exact game. But basically they all said, this is Kuminga's time. We need to maximize Jonathan Kuminga. And he was in the starting lineup. And literally a couple days later, he was back to being a reserve. And it was like, wait a minute. I thought you guys were just talking about maximizing Kuminga. Now he's not in the first five. He's not starting. And now his minutes are fluctuating again. What's going on here? The inconsistencies with the youngsters, not just Kuminga, but Jordan Poole at times. Moses Moody. Like, I look at Moses Moody. At least Kuminga's at least playing. Moses Moody has no idea if he's going to rack up a DNP or play 15 minutes. And I still don't know in year four, when you give Moses Moody a 3-year, $39 million extension. Now, I get that because it's a team-friendly deal in case you want to flip him. But I don't even know what I'm flipping. You know, I'm seeing Lindy Waters III, God bless his soul, he's starting at the two sometimes. Brandon Podziemski's starting at the two. Dennis Schroeder is starting at the two, and this looked ugly for Dennis Schroeder.
GP2
is starting. Yeah, for a week, let me see Moses Moody next to Steph and play 30 minutes. Just so I can, they know a lot more than us. I get it. Shoot around, whatever scrimmage is, if they do it. And I know at times Moses Moody doesn't look the most athletic when it comes to lateral movement, but I still want to see it, right? If we're going to commit to the youngsters and say, hey, this is a young man's game, why not play one of your young men when you're looking for a two-guard right now?
You're hitting the nail on the head. And I hate to be this guy, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
And I've just come to the conclusion, if you have Steph, Steve, and Draymond as your trio, it's almost impossible for them to do any of the things we're suggesting.
Yep.
They're stuck in their ways, dude. Like, and I've come to accept that.
So I got a question before we get there.
But here's the part that I've had a difficulty accepting, and I want to make this clear. You got rid of all these other guys, Clay being one of them, because you were trying to chase wins, and now it's about the swan song?
Yeah.
To me, it's illogical. These things are not congruent.
You know,
I keep coming back to
ask this question.
Part of why they, again, there's many reasons, but part of why they moved off him is they thought they could do better. And they're hanging on to Draymond. Why? I know we can do better.
So here's my question. If you still believe Steph is a top 10 player, and I still believe he's a top 10, top 15 player, should they be going all in for Steph? Should they be doing everything in their power to try to build a rim around Steph right now and going all in? And what does that look like? Because you're not going to get another Steph Curry anytime soon. Who knows? When Steph Curry walks away and retires and walks into the sunset, who the hell knows what it's going to look like? Who knows? It could be the Bulls. It could be the Lakers, post Kobe. Who the hell knows what's going on?